The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
But first, pushed through the Dáil and Seanad at breakneck speed and now officially signed into law, the Health Amendment No. 2 bill will pave the way for the reopening of indoor dining from next Monday. To get some reaction to the rules and the guidelines now in place for indoor hospitality, we'll be talking to the CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, Adrian Cummins, the proprietor of Sol Rio Restaurant in Westport, Sinead Lambert-Barroso, and independent TD for Tipperary, Matty McGrath. But first, what do ordinary people think of the plan for indoor dining? Our reporter Elaine Smith took to the streets of Cork to find out.
We are very excited. We've made big changes in terms of processes. Apart from the usual social distancing, we've had to create ventilation and sort of one-way systems.
How do you feel about the vaccine cert, having to check that on arrival?
We're very anxious. In terms of validity of the system, I do have my doubts. I mean, today on Facebook Marketplace, I've already seen certifications for sale. So I'm not terribly sure how many will be real or not.
Out of curiosity, how much were they going for?
Only a fiver. If people are into it, that's kind of terrifying.
I feel like it's just been so long. It'll be nice to like, just go inside, just go in with your friends.
How do you feel about checking of vaccine certs on arrival?
I kind of think it's unfair. We all sort of sacrificed and only a few people are going to be able to go in. Like, everyone should be allowed in. That's just discrimination.
Yes, I'm looking forward to going out for something to eat and to be inside. I think everybody could be inside if they keep their distance. If they're going to try and passport check everybody coming in the door, I just don't see how it's going to work.
You have to be vaccinated in order to go into a club or inside a building to sit down and have a pint. That's ridiculous, to be honest. Like, how could you work in a job, serve hundreds of different customers per day, and then you one day want to go in and sit down and dine and you can't dine because you're not vaccinated, but you're working with that many people? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm not fully vaccinated, so I won't be able to, but for me personally, like, I'm happy enough to just dine outdoors for the next while. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, the cases are going up, and I do think the government are trying their best to be cautious, because we don't want to have another big wave again.
We're as set as we were when we were closed before Christmas indoors, where we have screens, we have plenty of ventilation. Whatever other details I am not sure of until the information is released. I do think that these details should have been released sooner, because it doesn't give us an awful lot of time.
Do you feel comfortable that your staff will have to be checking people for their vaccine certs?
That doesn't sit too well with me. I think it's going to be very difficult. I hope it won't cause rifts among staff with people who are insisting on entering and not having a vaccine card with them.
A bit nervous about it because of the last few weeks and what's about to emerge over the next few weeks. So won't be partaking myself for a while. Enjoying the new outdoor life, enjoying the weather that goes with it. I think it'll be a long time before anything is even close to normal where dining and indoor entertainment are concerned.
It's good to have it back. It's good to be able to go out and go in and drop in for a bit to eat or a cup of tea if you feel like it. We're long enough without it, so we have to go back and celebrate it.
Yeah, I'm quite excited for it. A lot of people my age, they even turned 18 during the pandemic. They haven't even had the opportunity to go into pubs really or anything like that.
And how do you feel about the vaccine certs check on arrival?
If you're allowed to work in a restaurant without being vaccinated, then it needs to be kind of equal rules for dining and working, because the younger people are just serving the older people that like are lucky enough to have the vaccine already, and it's kind of leaving us in the dust in a way.
So both serving staff and people who run restaurants and also ordinary people reacting to the prospect of indoor dining from next week. Now, a number of our guests have skin in the game, as it were. So let's go to Sinead Lambert-Barroso, proprietor of Sol Rio in Westport. Sinead, what is your reaction to what you know so far, and how well prepared are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks very much for having me on. Yes. We're dying to get opened. Monday is rolling very quickly. Can't wait. Now, my restaurant is exactly the same as it was last year. So we used to have 70 covers. We now have 45 on two floors. So there's 20 on one floor and 25 on the second floor, all social distance. So we're well prepared for reopening on Monday, and we're waiting on the guidelines. We don't know what the new guidelines entails. Hopefully we'll know that by this evening or Friday.
Well, we'll talk to Adrian about what he's heard in a moment. What about the QR code reader? Are you equipped with that yet?
No, not equipped with that yet. We need to wait and hear what's going to happen. For example, I was fully vaccinated in May, and I still haven't received my vaccine cert. So there's a lot of people missing it. So I can't go anywhere.
Hang on, you couldn't go into your own restaurant as a customer.
I could. No, because I can't, because I haven't got my pass. Isn't it?
Okay.
You know, I just don't understand it. But Pat, we are going to do anything to get opened. We're 373 days closed as on from this Monday between last year and this year. That's over a year for a small business. It's been very, very difficult. Very difficult. So I am prepared. I really, as a small business owner, I am prepared to do anything to get opened.
Now, in terms of ventilation, have you anything in place to enhance your ventilation situation?
Well, one floor is totally ventilated, has air conditioning in it, so I'm lucky enough that's all sorted. The first floor isn't ventilated; it's quite it's not too big of an area, but it has lots of windows in it, and it also has the main door. So at the moment, that's what I'll have to work with until I hear the guidelines, until the government tell us. But if they're looking for something new off us, Pat, they're going to help us, because we've no money. We've no money. We're at the bottom of the barrel. So if the government are looking for new ventilation systems and things like that, they're going to have to help us.
Yeah. Now, what about having to turn away people who are not vaccinated? How will you handle that? And indeed, then there are children. There's a report that the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, tried to bring the age range down. In other words, you can bring in vaccinated children if they're under 12 or something like that. But at the moment, big lumps of fellas that are 17 and a half are classed as children, and you can bring them in even though they're not vaccinated. So how are you going to handle that particular problem?
Well, you'd only let them in, I think they'll only come with their family, obviously. And I think the guidelines still will be maximum of 6 per table. And that's what I'm carrying on anyways, because that's what we did last year. So it is going to be difficult manning this. But we did it last year, Pat. We did it with the families. We adapted last year to everything new, taking telephone numbers and, you know, checking people. For example, in Sol Rio, we operate on a first and second floor. We operated a walkie-talkie system from the door to the first floor. And nobody could come into the restaurant unless they had a reservation or there was a table available for them. So we're going to adapt again to what's going to come down the road, because we adapted last year and we did adapt well. And it is going to be difficult to begin with on the door, manning people between vaccines and unvaccined. And we are going to have some people that are going to be upset, but we have to do the best to get opened and to do the best to get our... Everybody is anxious and wants the restaurants. And I can see here in Westport, there isn't enough outdoor dining facilities for all the people. And the hotels are dying for us to come back because they can't cope with all the people. And they're coming back to the hotels hangry. And that's not what they want. We want every customer that's coming to our destination in Westport to be happy and to be a memorable occasion.
All right. I love that term, hangry. Hungry and angry. Sinead, the best of luck with the reopening this coming Monday. Sinead Lambert-Barroso, proprietor of Sol Rio in Westport. Adrian Cummins, CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, listening to all of that. Have you got all the information now, Adrian? I mean, there have been meetings between the sector and the various ministers and departments and so on. Do you know what the regime will be finally next Monday?
Good morning, Pat. We've met with government officials and state agency representatives over the last 2 weeks. to develop the guidelines, to consult on a two-way system to make sure that, you know, we had to build this new regime within the NPHET recommendations to government, which was only vaccinated people and those who have recovered from COVID in the last 180 days would be allowed indoors into indoor dining. Hence, now we have this Corona Pass or digital certificate scheme.
But have you got the code reader yet?
So we had another further meeting there 2 days ago with officials. They outlined exactly what the COVID reader would look like. They gave us showed us a mock-up of it, and they expect that to be finalised fully by tomorrow evening, ready to roll out to the industry ahead of Monday. We expect the guidelines to be issued later today. That is a matter of urgency now that is issued and published.
What are the things you don't know about yet? I mean, the guidelines on ventilation, for example, are you being required to have CO2 monitors, which are a kind of an analogue for the presence perhaps of COVID? Because if the air is not circulating, so you have a buildup of CO2, they're suggesting if you've got one person in that restaurant or bar with COVID, that COVID will spread around. If the concentration of CO2 is building up, it means the concentration of existing air is building up. So what are they telling you about CO2 monitors?
With regard to CO2 monitors, there is a recommendation that businesses should have a CO2 monitor within their business. Obviously, there's a very short window now to purchase CO2 monitors, so there has to be a small bit
but
of.
It's only a recommendation. It's not laid down in law that you have to have one.
Correct, and
so therefore people won't bother.
Correct,
in fact,
it's not that they won't bother now, Pat. I think we have to, as an industry, we want to make sure that we protect our customers, our staff.
No, but I mean, if I had windows that I could open, why would I bother? You know, if I had six windows that could allow the fresh air to breeze through, I wouldn't be inclined to put in a CO2 monitor because it wouldn't actually tell me anything.
So,
but I know in continental Europe, there are demands that people not alone have a CO2 monitor, but that the readout is visible to all the customers.
Well, what we will see now within hospitality businesses, there will be a common sense approach to this, where you will see ventilation in action, where doors and windows are open to circulate air within the premises. And we're starting now to look at the autumn as well, and we want to build on the dialogue and consultation with the range of departments that we're talking to, so that we're prepared for the autumn and the winter as we move forward. So we are, with regard to Monday, what I need to see now very clearly within the guidelines is at what point is the inspection of the digital certificate inspected by a member of staff within the business.
Yeah, is they want it on the door.
Well, it doesn't work on the door.
Hang on a second, Adrian, in fairness, I don't want the person who might have COVID breathing in my premises and then being told after hanging around waiting for an examination of the cert at the bar counter for, 5 minutes while the bar staff are busy, meanwhile fuming out the place with COVID. The proper thing to do is to examine them before they enter, isn't it? Isn't that common sense?
Pat, not all hospitality businesses are exactly the same. Can I give you the specific example that we want to get resolved here? If you go into a food court in a shopping centre, you may have communal dining within it. If you go into a retail store, you may have a coffee shop within the retail store. Is the point of entry the point of the door entering the overall premises, or where you actually sit down within the retail store itself? And we need to make sure that we do this in a way that is that we protect the regime itself, but also is a workable regime for all businesses across the state. So that's where we want to see the exact wording within the guidelines now. And also with regards to the issue around families and the social distancing between tables, my understanding of this is that there will be social distancing for groups of families within restaurants. Not all restaurants will have all their tables for all families. They may have a number of tables allocated for them. Is that 2 metres or 1 metre? I think that needs to be very much clarified today because...
But the idea is that if you've got kids under the age of 18 who are allowed to enter unchecked because they're under 18, And that's another problem. This big lump of a fella comes up and his mammy says, oh, he's only 17. He's 19, but I mean, you know, I can see the difficulty. But are we going to have apartheid within the restaurants? You'll have tables for vaxxed people and tables for people who have people who potentially are unvaxxed and therefore potentially infectious. Is that what's going to happen? That's what you're talking about there.
Well, Pat, we shouldn't be going down the road of using the words apartheid and discrimination and all of that within what we're trying to do here. We're trying to operate a hospitality business, businesses that have, some have been closed for 494 days. This is their first opportunity to get their doors open. And we're asking for the goodwill of the consumer as well as working in parallel with them.
What I'm doing here with you, Adrian, is kind of testing the logic that is behind whatever regulations will come out, because we need consistency, clarity, and we need something that you guys can work with.
True. Absolutely, 100% agree with that. But there will be teething problems as we start to reoperate from Monday. And our industry, if you've listened to a restaurateur down in Westport there, there's a can-do attitude within our industry at the moment. We always step up to the plate, and we will step up to the plate. This is a very difficult regime for our industries across the board, but we know other option. We were either going to have to take this on board or stay closed until October. But hopefully, and when you have the Tarnish Day in today, one question that the entire country will ask, at what stage will this regime fall away, or is this in here for the future? Or when we get to 80% of our population fully vaxxed, will this regime fall away? That's the most important thing that we need to get answered.
That is a question I will certainly put to him. Adrian, thank you very much for joining us. Adrian Cummins, CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Matty McGrath, Independent TD for Tipperary, has been listening to all of this. What's your take on it, Matty?
Good morning, Pat. First of all, I want to welcome Sinead there and indeed Adrian for the can-do attitude. And they're really yearning, you can hear it in their voice, to get reopened. Some closed for 350 days, more for 400, and some up to 500 days. It's shocking. Their money resources, they've just dried up. So they're desperate to get their doors open and do what they're good at, that is serving the public. And that's not an easy capacity, as you know, for anybody. But look, they've done that with some aplomb over the years, and they need to get back doing that and get their employees back to work safely, and they want to protect their employees and their customers as well. But again, we're waiting here. Adrian said they'll have the full guidance hopefully this evening. We're not sure if they will, and the devil is in the detail, and we don't know what that detail is.
So what else could they have done, though? I mean, is it that we're just a bit slow about everything, that, you know, you prepare, you can have contingencies for what might happen? So your contingency, someday we're going to be opening, this is the way we're going to open. But it does seem as if they made a decision that we'd be opening on the 26th, and then there's a scramble to get things organised.
This is my point. I've known for months. Like, they had a date of two weeks ago. Everybody got deep cleaning and got retraining staff and got staff back in and, you know, kind of orientated them back into the new system. And next thing that dawn was, the window was closed again on them, in their face. That has happened a number of times. So we're not even sure now. Why is it the 19th hour of the last day always that you get the guidelines? And then they're so big and cumbersome. And the issue I have had from the very start here, the Fault Islands have been involved in drawing up these guidelines. Fault Island's role is to get people into Ireland, and, you know, and they should be kind of recovering that market and concentrating on that. And in actual fact, they've been blamed wrongly in many cases for different issues. They told me in committee they had nothing to do with the 9 euro meal, for instance. They never had anything to do with that. They were blamed for it. Like, they've been, things like this were so nonsensical, so unworkable, they couldn't work. And this is the problem I have here with this. There's going to be hassle. There's going to be, you know, issues, you said it, but the big 17-and-a-half-year-old or 17-year-old, you know, going in and people saying he must be 21. Or he's normally the other case. But, and I've had teenagers myself, they're all just going past it now. My youngest is 19. So they've always been wanting to be older than they are. We're all in that boat back in the day. So look, now we're trying to make them, you know, even though they look big, persuade you they're under, and like, you have to have a best set, you're going to be checking for that. And as you said, the digital cert isn't rolled out and people don't have the equipment to scan it. What do you do when a lady was under my office yesterday, or her husband was on, who got the first vaccine, and the doctor giving it was reluctant to give it, second doctor said give the vaccine, and she just hit the deck 5 minutes later, ended up in hospital. Now the doctors have advised her, under no circumstance get a second one. She can't get herself. She's going away this weekend with her husband. Can they go into any place? Or what's happening? I have a GP onto me from Dundalk who have over 400 patients, a rural GP practice, and they were never set up in the system by the HSC. And all those 420, I think, patients that got the vaccine cannot get a digital cert. They've phoned up, there's no records of them. And there are many more, I'm sure, small GPs in rural Ireland have similar situations. So there's a lot of angst, and going to be a lot of angst created by this. And these issues, like, you know, when you have government officials bringing up these regulations, who you need is people with business experience. And unfortunately, our cabinet don't have business experience. None of them ever stood behind the counter of a bar or a restaurant or whatever. And you need to live the situation to understand it. But on the other hand, they're so anxious to get open. They do and to get open, and you can't blame them. They want to kind of revive their business, what's left of it, if they can. But we must have a carrot rather than stick approach.
By the way, you know, we are hoping, as Adrian said, to have the regulations later on in the day. But the Attorney General has recognised about a dozen issues to be addressed on the indoor dining regulations and was seemingly livid with the slow pace of the development of these regulations, because he's got to cast an eye over them before they can be given the nod. They've got to be consistent with the law that has been passed, and you know, people have got to get clarity as to who does what and who enforces what. Anyway, Matty, we will leave it there for the moment, because tomorrow we'll probably be talking about this again when we have sight of the regulations, if they manage to get them out. But for the moment, thank you very much for joining us. That's Matty McGrath. Now.